and reading this morning from the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the largest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, so often we look forward to the major moments in life, and yet we forget that the beauty is often found in the small moments. Encourage us, O God, to be open to your presence always, and remind us that even the smallest seeds we plant can produce great harvest. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So of those 35 years that Kim so kindly mentioned this morning, and I'm going to get you for that because you know I don't like that kind of attention. But for about half of those years, I did the sort of ministry that Kim does with children and youth, and that's one of the reasons I have such respect for her ministry, because I have to tell you, writing a sermon is delightful. You put on a pot of tea, you put on some amazing music, you sit on the couch, and you write. Working with children and youth, there's absolutely no sitting involved, I can tell you that. One of the highlights of my ministry was about 11 years ago, I had the opportunity to take a sabbatical for 3 months. And I know whenever anyone disappears from their job for 3 months, you always assume that they're just goofing off somewhere. But I promise, I actually, aside from going to Paris to buy shoes, I actually did some work. And one of the things I did was to reconnect with as many people as I could who were children and teens during my ministry to ascertain two things. Were they still active in the church? And was there anything from their early years in the church that persuaded them to remain connected in one way or another? And my time away did produce some pretty interesting results. I won't bore you with all of those, but I just want to tell you one thing that was reflected back to me from someone who had been a child in one of my churches. And she said to me, "I'll never forget when we did that lesson about God's love and we made those ice cream floats. I'll always remember how amazing God's love for us is because of that lesson. Oh, and also the one where the bread dough got all over the church schoolroom." So let me share with you my secret. In those days, there were no online resources, or at least we didn't have a computer. But there's a company called Group Publishers, which I know that Kim knows well. And we've both used extensively. And those two lessons contained in those days in print in a book were this simple. So you take a scoop of ice cream, you put it in a large glass, you fill a glass with grape soda. Don't ask me why it has to be grape, but it works. And it simply explodes everywhere. And it did. All over the table, all over the kids' shirts. And yes, I got angry letters from parents whose children had come to church school in their starched white shirts. The other one was a lesson where you simply made, some kind of bread dough, but a kind that literally goes wild after a day. So the kids were all supposed to take their little bags home with them, but of course some of them forgot. And when I went into the classrooms at the end of the week, there was bread dough. Stinky, disgusting bread dough over all of the classroom tables and all of the carpets. Thankfully, the caretaker and I were really good friends. Anyway, the whole point of this is to tell you how amazing it was for me all of those years later to hear that a few very simple, out-of-the-book church school lessons actually were still carried around in the mind and the heart of some young people with whom I had interacted. But it is the little things in life, isn't it? We all know that from our daily lives. We all need to remember when we become too focused on the big things, how important the tiny things can be as well. We need to remind ourselves that it might not be the big things that someone remembers about us someday, but rather the tiny little things that we might have thought were insignificant. I'm always amazed when I sit with families to prepare funerals that the things they usually talk about the most in reference to their loved ones are the smiles, the sense of humor, the meals lovingly prepared, the subtle lessons taught. And that should tell us something, shouldn't it? It's the little grains of mustard seed that are the things that leave a lifelong impression. So we need to remember that on the days when we feel we're not doing much to make our mark on the world. We need to remember it when we're parents and we're tired of changing diapers. When our days and nights are filled with endless caregiving for babies or for aging loved ones. We need to remember it when we're 16 and maybe our life doesn't feel like it's falling into place. We need to remember it when we spend too much time longing for the big things, the exciting moments, the amazing trips, the weddings, all of the high points of life. Because at the end of the day, at the end of our lives, it's the little things that we'll all look back on with fondness. So let's continue to plant those seeds of kindness, of compassion, of forgiveness, of grace, seeds which hopefully will take root and grow within all of the young people in our lives and in our church. But let's not ever assume that we, the older folk, are the only ones who do the planting. The last couple of times I've been away and the children and youth have had a major leadership role in worship, I've heard many of you talk about how moved you were by their leadership, by their faith stories, by their willingness to share. The children and youth of the church are not only our hope for tomorrow. They are also the planters of the seeds that will carry us through our faith journey. They are the ones who even now bring us courage and hope because they believe what we sometimes question. They are willing to give voice to what we too often hold close to our chest. As people and as a community of faith, we always have a choice to make. We can live for those glorious moments. We can talk forever about what was, about the days when we had over 500 children in our Sunday school. We can reminisce about the days when our pews were full. Or we can focus on the seeds that are still being planted by us and by those of all ages and generations who call this their faith home. Because it only takes one spark, one seed.